Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucciola ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Troy Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
It is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Frank, I won't say he's on assignment today. I think we can say what he's doing.
Yes.
He is actually speaking at the funeral for the police officer who was tragically shot and killed in the horrible story the other night by a fellow officer. The husband of that officer's mom worked at Kimmel's for years, and so Frank knows the family. In fact, the now widow who would have been married to the woman, the police officer, his grandfather is Gus, the famous Gus from Gus's Fashions, downtown St. Louis. For years, we would go there when doing Ram stories. He always had lots of merchandise, but tons of personality. Gus is friendly with Frank, and so I'm not sure all of the connections, but Frank is actually speaking at the funeral for that police officer today. So Frank is out. Chuck Marlowe is going to be in a little bit. Got a full program lined up. Hollywood Casino Press Box here in the McBride & Sons home studios. Bob Wallace, former executive of the Rams, and I want to walk back in time. 17 years ago in New Orleans, we were all there covering it, and I don't think any of us for a second stopped and thought, hey, what if the Patriots win? It was all about what will this do for the Rams' legacy?
Because were thinking that because your post game coverage
right.
was all about, you know, who do we get after the Rams
correct.
Win?
We had it all lined up. Never did we stop and think about Brady's or no? They benched Bledsoe for this guy? Nobody ever thought about it. I'm just curious, in the Rams world that week in New Orleans, and Bob would have been there, a longtime executive in the NFL, just sort of walking back and thinking what went on that week. And the theory that if they had won that Super Bowl, things would have been different here. I disagree.
No.
It's a fun topic. It's kind of nice to kick that around. If they win, maybe Martz and Zygmunt stay good friends, and then they don't have the dysfunction, and they draft better, and they win more, and then they win more, and they decide to build them all kinds of cool additions, and then they're like, hey, that's good enough.
Chip and Lucius still got to sell the team.
Correct. I think as long as Enos enters the equation, it doesn't really. They could have won 6 straight Super Bowls, and it would not have mattered. But it's fun to talk about. Anyway, Bob will be here at about 10:30. 11 o'clock hour, we'll check in with Bob Ramsey. Billikens tonight hosting Richmond. The Spiders are beatable. I haven't done a lot of research on this yet, but the Spiders, terrible nickname. But they
Is that in general or the Richmond Spiders?
No, the
Spiders in general are also beatable.
Hey, they got Indiana one year in the tournament. Look it up. I want to say they beat Bob Knight in 1986 in the tournament. Might have been a 15-2. But this year's Richmond squad is 1-6. So this is the get well game for the Billikens. So Rammer will come by in the 11 o'clock hour previewing SLU. And in the noon hour, because this is sort of our version of Media Row, this week, Super Bowl week, where we just have people stopping by, being a part of the conversation, Malcolm Briggs, longtime colleague of one Francis Cusimano's, longtime sideline reporter for the Rams, Billiken basketball analyst. It was Rammer, Malcolm and Earl for a number of years. The Malk Dog has left the broadcast world. He's a high finance guy. But he's coming by in the noon hour. And again, Chuck Marlowe will join the conversation. If you'd like to be a part of the show, Maryville University brings you the listener line at 855-282-8255. That's the phone number Hockey Bob calls. We never answer. Then he texts me and says we're rude, which is fair.
We're not rude. We're just ignoring.
855-282-8255. The text line is the same. 855-282-8255. And before we get to an opening monologue, I want to remind all the kids out there, most of them are home today, all the parents, send your kids to law school. You got to go to law school. That is the number one guarantee you're going to make it in life. Think about this example. Enos Kroenke right now is irate. Why? Because he's drowning in litigation. Nobody feels sorry for him. Sort of fun. The PSL lawsuit took a while. Started 3 years ago, got some steam, and they're working towards the settlement now. City County suing the NFL, that's going to take a while. It's crawling its way through the courts. So we were talking at work last night about Rams Park, the actual facility where Jim Thomas basically had a cot for 20 years. And myself, Doug, Frank probably went out there thousands of times. Stood and watched a practice, interviewed players.
A Chick-fil-A.
A lot of free food. Boy, the food was really good early on. They used to have Outback on Wednesdays.
How would the food have been at Rams Park if the Rams had beaten the Patriots in that
Correct.
Super Bowl, won 2 out of 3? What would the spread would have been like years later?
And maybe we would have been more earnest in our coverage. Fans would have been more likely to go to games.
It all comes
Everything
back to the
would
media
have been
dining room.
No, the first couple years that I was here, they were terrible, 97 and 98. But on Wednesdays, they would roll out Outback. And you could grab a steak, you could grab a chicken. They had the vegetable medley. And the old PR guy, Rick Smith, often imitated on this show, would walk by on some Wednesdays. Now you're talking mid to late November. They're 3-10, 4-11. Hey, any of you guys would have come out today if we didn't have Outback? And it was a fair question. And we would all kind of like fork and knife in hand look up. Oh, yeah, sure, Yeah, committed to the process, of course. But I bring all of this up because that building, remember the lease, another horrible lease, Enos can buy it outright for $1. He owns the right to buy that property in our city for $1 in 2024. So we're talking about it at work. Lou Fuse has taken it over. They have their soccer program. They're using it for that. I'm glad it's getting some use. They're paying rent. But nobody can buy it. And nobody can sell it. The Dome Authority, the folks that run the Dome, own it. But they can't sell it because of this stupid lease that says Enos can buy it. It's part of the deal they gave when they came here. But I thought they had settled it. So I looked it up. And in the fall of 2017, either October or November 2017, a judge ruled, this is going to arbitration. Get this resolved. So then I get online. I'm like, well, who owned it? What was it? I forgot. Did they settle? Did the Rams take a check? How did they? It's still in arbitration. A year and a half later, it still hasn't been resolved. So all of the kids, all of the parents, just remember, law school is the way to go. Lawyer's going to lawyer. Nothing gets done. It takes forever. No offense to Bob, who will be here at 10:30. He is, of course, a lawyer. But the Rams Park saga, which is one little layer of all of this, and Lou Fuse, I believe, has said they'd like to buy it, but they can't because of that stupid lease. Year and a half ago, you guys just decide this. Send it to arbitration. Year and a half later, is that resolved? No, we're still in arbitration. All right, let's get to it. Opening monologue brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park. And Frank always starts with what? Let's start with lap one. The STL and the NHL. You can't turn on a hockey game. And it's not just the Strickland House. Anybody in St. Louis watching hockey these days, you flip on a TV and you hear a familiar name and you're thinking, that kid, is he from St. Louis? You got a Tkachuk on half the league. And remember the 2016 draft? Tkachuk went 6th, Matthew. Clayton Keller went 7th. Jeff Brown's kid, Logan Brown, was number 11. Luke Cunningham went 15th. And we've talked a lot about those names, but last night it was Trent Frederick, Bob Frederick's son, in the debut for the Boston Bruins. Couple of shots, couple of faceoffs, one, and one big fight. What do you think they love in Boston better than scoring? Probably a good brawl. Great video of the dad reacting. And Mandy Murphy said, as we went to the break, and I'm glad it was to the break because I don't know the answer. She said, how many St. Louis kids right now are playing in the NHL? And I said, that is a great question. Why don't you ask Charlie a little later when he rolls in here? In fact, he's here now, Chuck Marlowe.
Great to be here. Game time is on time, 10-12. What's
up? You had Jeannie Mae duties. Jeannie Mae duties.
You know what? I apologize to everyone.
You're excused.
We're between...
You're babysitting.
...daycares, but next week we're all good. I'll be all over the radio. I don't know if people will be happy about that, but I'm good to go.
How many do you think we have? Because it's not just the Kachucks. It's not just the 2016 draft class. You have the occasional Chris Weidman and Chris Butler.
Ben Bishop.
Right around.
Pat Maroon.
How about 10?
Pat Maroon.
Maybe 10?
I said it's probably right around 10. And as I'm leaving the studio, determined to look it up, John Brown said to Mandy, I'll look it up. So to be honest, I never.
So Martin's off the hook.
I walked away. Well, John Brown has the website that tracks famous Missourians, famous St. Louisans that are in the pro leagues. So he was going to look it up. I don't have the answer, but the point is the same. It's impressive, isn't it? St. Louis, outside of Canada, is this great hockey hub right now. We are the heartland of hockey. Remember that?
You mentioned the All-Star Games coming here.
A couple years ago, when you have five first-round picks from one city or one area of the country
that isn't Toronto.
Look, yes, you have more than some of these countries in Europe, some of these hockey hotbeds, Sweden, whatever it was, Finland. You have more first-round picks that year in St. Louis, Missouri, than these huge hockey countries. That's amazing.
All right, lap two. Or three.
Second lap. Okay.
We don't always get out of the pits real well. Hey, hold on. Oh, they're red flagging us. Okay, lap two. Best headline that I've seen in a long time. John Fuller, who is the weather guy at Channel 11.
Great guy.
Channel 5 for many years. Who, by the way, we call Stan Mr. Coffee, our longtime photographer. John Fuller's right up there with Mr. Coffee. Always has a little mug of coffee, an actual ceramic mug walking around the building.
He reminds me a little bit, and this is a total compliment.
Oh, here it goes. Not a compliment.
No, this is a compliment. I love John Fuller. One of the nicest people.
Oh, correct. You're going to say something really nasty about him now.
No.
However.
You're setting it up.
No, Ned Flanders. He's like your nice neighbor. He's so polite.
And he's kind of our neighbor in the weather office.
He never swears. He kind of has that dad sense of humor in a very jovial way. I love John Fuller.
But he's become very prominent on Twitter and Facebook, and they do all this social media tracking. And I've noticed his scores on a daily basis are very good. And I saw something yesterday, and I said, this is it. This is the key. The headline gets the clicks, and he knows this, and it's working. Except I didn't actually click the story.
Aww.
Maybe you can. But his tweet came out. I think I was about to run out onto the set. Very busy bringing you sports.
You're looking up how many players in the NHL are from St. Louis.
Bracketology, where's Marquette?
Who's the guy I'm forgetting? They're like, Pat Maroon. Oh, yeah, that guy. Isn't he on our team? The headline simply said, woman makes heartbreaking decision to take brother off life support. Like, oh, that's the worst. Except it wasn't her brother. How about that headline?
Is it heartbreaking?
So what happened here?
I don't know. Hoffman, you looked at John Fuller Twitter. This is the headline. And again, I was running out to bring you the latest sports news on a day when a lot was going on. The Billikens had a practice.
Mm-hmm.
Mizzou probably had a practice. The Blues had some time in Mexico. A lot going on.
So you were so into this story
that
you wrote down the headline and you had it in the monologue for next day's radio show, but you actually didn't read the article.
I haven't found the story yet, but John Fuller has a lot of very depressing stories on his Twitter feed.
I'm telling you, the point of all of this.
102-year-old man dies, 55-year-old frozen body found in the garage, woman carrying 1-year-old baby dies after falling down subway stairs.
God, who knew that Ned Flanders could be so morbid? My point is, if you want...
Ho, neighborinos.
If you want people to click, you got to have the headline that grabs you. And John's story, and I want to know more. This is why we have Hoff here.
An English woman took her brother, in quotes, off life support. There it is. It wasn't her brother?
Except, you need Keith Morrison. It wasn't her brother.
I agree.
How
with
does
your
that
point.
Happen?
I agree with your point, but don't you think sometimes, clearly, some of these blogs and all that, and you see this on Twitter, the headline is so misleading.
Correct.
That I feel like it's very unfair. Like, I get it. Okay. Apparently you succeeded. You got me to click. But how many times you read a headline and then you read the article
and it doesn't live up?
It totally was oversold.
Okay, here's what happened. By the way, I'm saying no thanks to for updates from KPLR 11 on my laptop here.
Oh.
The case of mistaken identity led to her thinking it was her brother, who she didn't know was actually in a New York City jail. NBC News reports, a man named Freddie Clarence Williams, 40, was admitted to St. Barnabas Hospital in the Bronx on July 15th after a drug overdose, his brain irreversibly damaged. Per its records, the hospital discovered it had treated a Frederick Williams before and called his sister, Powell. But unbeknownst to the hospital and Powell, they had called the family of the wrong Fred Williams. Hospital staff, meanwhile, told Powell that her brother, also 40, was brain dead. She said it was a horrible feeling, she tells the New York Post. As for her real brother, still in jail, Powell says when she told him what happened, he said, quote, "You're going to kill me?" Now, would you tell?
Nothing's funnier than accidentally pulling the plug on the wrong person. So I guess you're removed from any legal obligation, I guess, because the hospital's the one that screwed up, right?
We'll ask Bob Wall.
She just got the call. Everybody
in
go to law
minutes.
School. I told you. Everybody go to
I
law
was
school.
Listening. I was listening.
Not only everybody go to law school, when John Fuller tweets it out, please read the full story.
She's now suing the hospital.
For distress.
For severe emotional harm.
Yeah.
And the brother's like, "You were going to kill me, sis? Seriously?
Now he's going to sue her.
I could have survived this." You see all these stories on the Hallmark Channel. These people are in comas for 10 years, but then they finally get out of it.
And they're perfectly fine.
And now their relationship is forever scarred. All right, lap three.
Third lap.
NHL All-Star Game coming to St. Louis. We're on the clock. There was about a dozen Blues employees that went to San Jose over the weekend. Check out the proceedings. Here's my question to you, and I don't know if anybody feels strongly either way.
Oh, I'm very strongly feeling towards the NHL All-Star Game. Can't wait.
Do you prefer it on Saturday night?
Wet blanket, seriously.
Or Sunday
Saturday
afternoon?
Night.
This was the first year they did it on Saturday night. It was an NBC deal. They wanted it in primetime. They said ratings-wise, about the same, maybe a little less than a Sunday afternoon. I think for St. Louis, I prefer the Sunday afternoon. And then you could do a little more all weekend. Maybe the old-timers, alumni game Friday, Saturday's the skills. I think for St. Louis's benefit, Chuck, I'm voting for Sunday.
So this year, San Jose, doing it Saturday night, did that have anything to do with Pro Bowl on Sunday
No.
and competing with that? Is that an issue, though, for doing it on Sunday?
I don't think so. I think they said NBC wanted to try it on a Saturday night, put it in primetime, but ratings-wise, it was
I kind of like the Sunday.
So I like the Saturday.
I think for St. Louis, I'm trying to milk that. I'm trying
up.
To get hotel rooms.
Yes.
Okay, Sunday economic then. Impact.
Get that extra day.
Gotcha.
You guys are the worst. All right, we're still 2 weeks away. Lap four.
Fourth lap.
This is for Chuck. Give me your underrated Cardinal. We've written a lot. We've talked a lot. This guy, that guy, this guy, that guy. And then yet, there's somebody sitting there that you think we've sort of ignored.
Dion.
Key piece. Paul DeJong over here, that's your vote?
Can you say he's overlooked, though?
We don't talk about him.
The last 2 years?
I don't think we talk about what his role in the offense and how important his role could be.
Okay, how about this? How about a guy who was pretty darn good last year, but still we never mention his name in the rotation because we're always talking about Waino because we love him. We'll see what happens final year and Ray is coming back. How about John Gant? How good was John Gant last year? And I feel like because his name is John Gant, and he's not a player we talked about coming up through the system.
And he
for
doesn't
years.
Throw 95.
Right, but he's really, really good.
That's a good play because every time he pitched, I think we all said, "Oh, we got anybody else? We got anybody else?" And then he nearly throws a no-hitter or a one-hitter, whatever he did the one night. I think we'd all said, "Is that our best option? What about get a kid from Memphis?" But like, well, he was in Memphis. Get one of the young guys. We actually is pretty young.
How about another one? How much do we talk about Michael Wacha? Probably his last year with the Cardinals, right? They're not going to sign him to a free agent deal, you'd think, with the shoulder issue. Last year, makes 15 starts. He was really good. 3.2 ERA, had the oblique issue, but before that, he was having a really good season. Is that fair?
That's fair. Isn't it interesting that everybody knows he's gone? Like, he probably knows he's gone.
If you're the Cardinals, though, you've locked up or tried to lock up every young player to one of those kind of club-friendly deals where you buy out the arbitration years and maybe get a year of free agency. The fact that they never did that with Michael Wacha, I think that shows you right
there. Not only that, but they took him to arbitration.
Yes, a couple years
back. They made a point, because he hadn't done it in so long, to use him almost as a test dummy to talk bad about him in front of a judge.
Lap five.
Oh, you're doing a fifth one. Look at you.
Lap 48. The headline says John Elway is smitten with Drew Locke. Is there any chance this is bad news for Drew Locke? Remember, John Elway thought Case Keenum was the answer. He thought Paxton Lynch was the answer. Is there any part of you that's starting to wonder if John Elway can identify quarterbacks? Other than grabbing
He pointed out, he said, Peyton Manning, I want him. He's good.
He was pretty good at identifying that Manning guy might work in Denver. Other than that, a little shaky. If I'm Drew Locke in his camp, I'm thinking, oh, I don't want Elway thinking I'm good because, well, he's been wrong a lot.
10th pick, though, in terms of money?
I would go there in a heartbeat.
What are you getting right there?
I'd go there in a heartbeat.
I'm guessing you're getting, what, close to, are we talking $15-type million dollars at the 10th pick? So I'm taking it if I'm Drew Locke. 100%.
And going to Denver, great football market.
Good defense.
But I am a little worried about John Elway's ability to identify quarterback talent. All right, lap six. Right on it. Stream of consciousness. Kenny Iggy Strode comes back from the Adult Video Awards. I think that's what it is. And said every year that he goes, he gets sick. Did anybody read that and think?
Yes.
Germs?
Penicillin.
Germs. You went to the Adult Video Awards. Now you said every year you get sick. Does it sound a little gross?
100%? You know, you read those stories where they always say, now, this is different, clearly, but when you flush the toilet, make sure you close the lid.
Dr. Rick!
Yes, you have airborne bacteria, right?
Don't use the blow dryers in the bathroom because that just blows the germs all over the place.
So I don't judge. I never judge other people.
But you're going to judge someone now.
Live your life the way you want to live.
You're about to judge
heavily. I'm just wondering, though, if you're at that type of convention, is there more airborne type things you're going to have to deal with?
Let's ask Dr. Rick next Tuesday.
Maybe Iggy next year should be wearing like the doctor's mask.
Yes.
Interviewing everybody in full gear, like nurse's gear.
Honestly, I doubt it's necessarily that event. I think it's just airports in general are just havens for sickness.
And also, if you're going to Vegas, what are you doing in Vegas? You are partying.
You're touching a lot of stuff.
You're probably not sleeping a lot. You're probably drinking all night. You're going out till 3, 4 in the morning, whatever's going on.
I don't think Iggy's doing
AVNs.
That, though.
I bet he had some fun.
I don't think Iggy's drinking a lot, staying out till 3 in the morning. I think he's just talking to the occasional porn star and smoking a lot of cigarettes.
Okay, but you're telling me Biff? You're telling me
well,
Biff
is
going
doing
home
that.
At 11 p.m.?
No, Biff's, yeah.
Biff is waking up at 11 p.m.
Yes.
All right, in defense of Iggy. In defense of Iggy. I think he's just not that healthy in general. Is that fair?
Was that
a nice defense?
Probably that a component.
Too. Sorry, buddy.
And I love Iggy.
Basketball program that you're most excited about their future. Like, SLU next year will be good. They won't have Javon Best. They're adding Hargrove and Yuri. I think they're going to be good. I don't think they'll be great. Mizzou, I think, is in this stage now where they're okay, but I don't think they're going to be great. Illinois's got some recruits coming. Sell me on one of the three for next year that you're bullish on.
Is it SLU because they're in the weaker conference?
Although the Big Ten, Bracketology has them getting 10 bids. So all you got to do is tread water in the Big Ten and get in. I think it's kind of a depressing thought. Because SLU's got a good team this year. They could still make the tournament. I think they'll be good next year. But I'm looking for somebody to be great, and I'm not sure I see it.
Here's the optimism, though.
Marquette.
I 100% agree with your take right there. But look at both Travis Ford and Konzo. What are they really good at? Getting transfers. And nowadays, half the freaking league, half of college basketball kids are transferring.
Kids transfer at halftime.
Kids are transferring at halftime of games. So seriously, there could be some big-time players that transfer into SLU or Mizzou after this season. And maybe that's the missing piece or a couple pieces to get them to be a tournament team, especially for SLU, I'm thinking.
Last thought, stream of consciousness, not related to Ray Donovan.
Oh.
When you've been sick and it's been lingering, you want a really good bowl of soup. Now, Breadco is the obvious. We always ask, best cheeseburger, best fries. Give me a good soup spot. Because there used to be something called Applegate's over by Brentwood Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a row of like 8 to 10 homemade soups every day. It was killer.
Schnucks is a good. If you go Schnucks, Schnucks and DePere actually has a pretty good selection.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
Outside the obvious, Schnucks or Breadco.
Can I give another grocery store?
Yeah.
Is that allowed?
Oh, no. Stores, no. We'll drop out of it.
Straub's?
Schnucks,
yeah, you can't say that.
Straub's. They're all friends. But have you ever gone out and said, I just want a good bowl of soup right now?
100%, but you just said the two spots that, I'm not just saying this because they're sponsors, but Schnucks has great soup.
Kirkwood Pizzeria could put in a bowl for it.
I don't know if they have soup, though. But Breadco, I love that chicken wild rice soup.
They don't serve it every day. It's kind of weird.
That's the issue.
I don't get that.
I always forget which day, so I go there. I'm like, hey, do you have the chicken wild rice? And they'll say yes or no.
Offenburg Hyundai is great soup. Fast Eddie's the best.
If you wanted to make soup, it would be great.
Right. If you go to Breadco and they don't have the chicken wild rice, you just go for the turkey chili, and it's still really good.
Now, after the show today, Eddie's going to call. You tell people I'm making soup up here?
They'll take a burger, just chop it up, throw it in some water, and then there you go. You got soup. You got a beef soup.
You got shrimp. You just put it in a bowl, man.
I think the answer, though, is, and again, I don't want to mention any other grocery stores, but I think that is an underrated aspect of grocery stores, is going in there for the salad bar.
And the hot deli area.
And the soups.
All right, Hollywood Casino Press
Box. Can I be elitist and offer up a food option?
You are always the elitist.
That is,
feel free.
That is great if you have a lot of congestion. Pho.
Excuse me?
Can you say that?
Yeah, pho. It's a Vietnamese soup. You can find a nice little, there's pho grand, there's Mai Li and Brentwood. That'll clear you up.
All right.
It's got a little kick to it, some spice. You throw some sriracha in it, some peppers.
Well, there's a place right up here in De Pere called Symbol. It used to be called like a hot pot, and it's all healthy broth and vegetables.
We love hot pot.
Very healthy. You go there?
Plaza's got a hot pot.
It's called.
Did they change it?
Symbol now, I think. Like a bowl.
It's
symbol.
Very healthy. They have good kind of like shredded beef.
I might go there.
Bowls.
Yeah.
Quinoa.
Symbol sounds like something Plaza would freak
They out. Drag it through the garden and you get all these vegetables in there and it will clean you out.
John Gant last year, 3.47 ERA. He went 7-6, made 19 starts, 7 appearances out of the pen, threw 114 innings. To a 3.47 ERA. And nobody talks about that guy.
Fair enough. That's your guy.
Boom.
Chuck Marlowe, live from spring training. Hey, did you get Molina today? Apparently he held court. And apparently Schilt says he's hitting Goldschmidt leadoff. No, Martin, here's the deal. I got John Gant. We sat him down. Is there a more underappreciated?
First of all, you asked the question.
I know, and I'm just joking.
Second
that now
of
that's
all,
your
I'm
guy.
Sorry that when I go to spring training and all of the great storylines like, hey, I'm in great shape and no, my shoulder doesn't hurt at all, and then I'll be on the DL 10 days later. I'm sure all of those great storylines will be overlooked.
They call Charlie, what do you got? Well, I got this 8-piece, 20-minute-a-piece episode.
Sweeps
on
piece.
John Gant.
How about this?
We started at the beginning. John Gant was born.
Paul DeJong in his starts. Cardinals were 63-48 when he homered.
Ooh.
They were 16-2 last season.
Hold on, say that again. 63-48.
In his starts.
Starts, okay.
And they were 16-2 in games in which he hit a home run.
Paul DeJong is super streaky. Like
yes.
When he gets hot, he'll all of a sudden hit 5 homers in a week. But then some of the strikeouts can come and it goes the other way.
I do think at spring training we're so conditioned to doing the stories on guys who are in great shape or they've lost weight.
Brett Cecil.
That one year, Ray King told all of us. It's like 2000.
I shouldn't be laughing because you said Ray King.
I was for you.
Picture the big lefty.
We were in his locker and he's like, oh, yeah, I did this and I did that. And he was saying how he lost all this weight. And later we were with La Russa and I said, hey, apparently Ray King is really slim. He said, yes. And I said, oh, I guess he's down like 15. He said, oh, I'll take a better look. Which was an obvious shot.
He was wearing a big coat.
Yeah.
A chunky coat.
Like, in other words, not really. No, not really. Opening monologue brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park, gatewaymsp.com. Maryville brings you the listener line. You can text in throughout the show, 855-282-8255. And the content of this show is brought to you by the Bomarito Automotive Group. Go online 24/7 to bomarito.com. Quick break here. It is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Martin and Chuck in for Frank going until 1 o'clock on 590 The Fan.